Blog Talk Radio.
Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Live Yahuwah's Radio.
Worldwide International Radio Broadcast is now on the air. Yahweh's Radio, Yahweh's Ministry. I'll be your host for the night series of New Order of YHWH Jewish Peoples Israel, part number 30. I'll be your host by name, your seer, Israel of Seed Royal. And like I said again, the series is part number 30, the due order of YHWH, proper pronunciation, Yahweh, through his people Israel, unmasking all the things that have been hid from you since the foundation of the world through this ministry called the Voices of a True Israelite, the Six Anointed Camps. We're going to scroll down the international side and see who all joined us for another episode and see who all is in on the international side. And we see all the slots is filled. And that's a great thing. All the slots is filled. And that's 195 international countries have logged into this broadcast. And what's flashing out of New York on the international side? 109006. 109006. We're going to leave it like that and bring in the elder in. He's going to tell you all about the 109006, 195 international countries, and who bringing this broadcast while we take a look at these memos that's coming in as we speak. But we're going to try to do it the way it's given to us, and we will stay on course. So let's bring the elder in and find out what Yahweh put on him to give an explanation about this 195 international countries, 109006. We're going to bring the elder in. He'll tell you all about the broadcast that you're getting ready to hear and the one that's going to come after this on Pal Talk. So when you meet the elder with a loud voice, you say, Elder, Mr. Till, Yahweh be to your seed right.
And Yahweh bless you, see as well as see well. Do Yahweh.
All right there, Elder. We got another fine audience in. Nemo's coming in, 195 international countries, 109006 is in the room. So what have you got to tell the 109006? You're on the clock. Come
on. Once again, Yahweh bless you, see you, Israel. And thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast of another glorious turnout of members that came to hear the words of Yahweh. And actually, this is the largest class ever. Almost make me tired till I'm trying to pronounce the number of people that came to hear Yahweh's word. 109,000 and six people. My. We know that we all came to hear these things that most of us can hear. And some listening never understand. And that's without proper teaching. That's what we provide here. And to see those things in the Bible that most of us can see, some looking can never find. It's the misinformed that can do none of these things. And again, that's without proper teaching. This is why the words of Yahweh that is taught makes all this and more possible for the righteous, because we have to be aware by knowing the scriptures. There's those out there that camouflage evil or confused teachings and overly loud bump the gums for righteous learning, even using Bible scriptures as verbal weapons. I've seen part of that today. This brings me into thinking about what Yahweh hates. This is mentioned in the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. 16, these things doeth the Yahweh hate, yea, even seven are abomination unto him. 17, a proud look and a lying tongue, and hands that sheddeth innocent blood. 18, a heart of mind that devilish wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running into mischief. 19, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brothers or sisters. And I know many of you have seen most of this. This is why we're here, to help guide you through these dark times of bad teaching. And welcome and thank all of you for attending our broadcast of Yahuwah's ministry that comes to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. First and foremost, about Yahuwah's Word, connecting the Bible books for your biblical education, your health, foods that you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. And we do this because you have not. This is information you all came to seek. And now you found out what you have sought in Yahuwah's ministry that's open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days that we're open for your learning is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. Generally, we don't have a class on Tuesday, but we do have a Sabbath class. The top part of the Sabbath is Friday, current time starting at 7:30 to 10:30. The bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. The temple class starts at 12 p.m., and the online class starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. Now, we also have a website address. To use this, open up any search engine on any one of your smart devices. Right on the search line in the www.tribeyhdh.com. After you click enter, just under this big line, you will see some choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any other device, you may see menu. But again, after clicking this, you'll still see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings. And doing so, remember what it tells us in the Book of Songs, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, O your kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come unto his courts. I always remind everyone that when doing this, to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And also donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated. That you give what's in your mind to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahuwah live. Also to build a school, a banquet hall, radio station, and the land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Also while there, don't forget to check our calendar. Keep yourself, family, and friends in tune with the feast days that come to us throughout the year. The calendar explains in biblical detail with Scripture what they are, when they begin, and when they end. For the live program, this is a feature only available during live broadcast time. To get there, open up any search engine. Right on the search line, type three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for True Name Teachers. Click the red live button as soon as this appears. You'll be right into our live online broadcast. We're currently using two email addresses also. The first is tribe, that's tribeyhdh @gmail.com. This is to write your written opinions, questions of a biblical subject answered, or related topics. The other is yhdhysrael@gmail.com. Also for biblical subjects or related topics. You can even state how our program was enjoyed by you. We also have a few numbers you can righteously call with Yahuwah in mind. The first is the live conference room number. This is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is our international number where you can call, leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by anyone but six Atlantic camps of Yahuwah's ministry. Now, for those of you who have missed the beginning of our program, you can always listen to the entire show at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. This program time will be repeated after 10:30. To get there, open up any search engine. Once again, type three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for True Name Teachers. Just choose the program that you are late logging into, or any previous day that you would like to listen. Now, one interesting note. After the normal broadcast that we're on, we're also listed on Pal Talk under ethnic groups, African American. Look for Yakwa True Name Teachers. This is where Yakwa's Word is also working for your biblical education. Online there to be to answer any questions about the discussed Bible topics will be Elder Josiah, Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with Seer Israel writing Shaddai. No comments will be taken off topic or multiple text questions answered. For you to follow the Righteous Act, either elder will block or restrict misuse. Now, also, when you're on our program, remember, don't try to win the Bump the Gums contest. You will miss all of Yahuwah's glory, which is said unto you. We're here rehearsing the Righteous Act to learn Yahuwah's word. Remember what it told us in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 26. 26 says, "But the Comforter, which is the Righteous Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring things unto your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Well, I guess we should get off into our program and turn our program back to our Seer Israel. But before we do, remember, you can only do 100% of what one man or one woman that was Jacques Wiley created to do in this life. And that's if at all possible. So to find out what our possibilities are, let's keep your Bibles open. I'll turn our program over to our Seer Israel and say, Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah, Elder. We'll catch you on the bottom part. And we're just looking at these memos. And just so much stuff comes up, but it's part of it. And we got no problem with it. We're going to deal with it, no problem. So what we'll do, we're going to get something going on. We just see which way it goes. In tape number 30, by looking for Brother Yahdai Israel. And one thing about it, when you meet your brother, with a loud voice you say, "Brother Yahdai Israel, Yahuwah be with you, El Seed Royer."
Yahuwah bless you, Israel. El Seed Royer. Hallelujah. Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, there, Brother Yahdai Israel. Brother Yahdai Israel, we're just going to get something going on, and we'll play it by ear. We'll play it by ear. So let's go on and see if we can get something going on by going to Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Brother Yahdai Israel, let's see if we can get something going on.
Book of Luke chapter 12. Verse number 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say."
Excellent. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. And I believe that. So we want to run and take a look at what it says over here in the book of Psalms 133, verse 1. We want to take a look at what do it say in Psalms 133, verse number 1. We open up in tape 30. Remember, the series is about the due order of Yahuwah. So we need to know more about Yahuwah's due order to get in order. What it says in 133, verse 1 of the book of Psalms there, Brother Yahdai Israel.
The book of Psalms, chapter 130, verse number 1 reads, Psalm 133, verse number 1. "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity."
Mm-hmm. How good and pleasant when brothers dwell together in unity. Mm-hmm. Sound pretty good. What did Zechariah says on the brothers he's talking about in 11 verse 14? So David says, you know, it's real good when brothers dwell together, but in unity. And Zechariah chapter 11, 14 says what?
Because Zechariah 11, verse number 14 reads, then I cut asunder my another staff, even bands, that I may break the brotherhood between Yahda and Judah, southern kingdom, and Israel, northern kingdom.
So Zechariah is reporting about a breaking up of the brotherhood of northern kingdom, northern tribes, and southern kingdom, Judah and Benjamin. And the Levites were just stuck out there and had to do something. And the Levites that was, they had to do something, Brother Yahdai Israel. Let's see, can we read what happened to, what did the Levites had to do? The Levites had to do something by being a priest. At that time, they had to do something. We want to see what did they have to do that we can read. If you want to help me out in there, it's all good. I'm looking for what did the priesthood have to do. When it was a split in the nation, what did the Levites continue to do? Did they continue to... what did they do that we can read? So we want to find where they at. If you got them, where they at, Brother Yahdai Israel? We can go from there. I want to know what happened once it was a split in the kingdom. What happened to the priesthood? And
I'm looking at 2 Chronicles chapter 11.
Okay. 2 Chronicles chapter 11. Let's see what happened to the priesthood in 2 Chronicles chapter 11. Excellent, Brother Yahdai Israel. Let's see what happened, and let's pick it up around by verse 13. What happened in 11 verse 13 and 14? What happened when the priesthood that was ordained to be servants, the whole 12 tribes of Israel. What happened in the 11th chapter, verse 13 and 14? 2 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 13 and 14. What happened by Yahdai Israel? Come on.
The book of 2 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 13 and 14 reads, book of 2 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 13. And the priests and the Levites, and when all Israel, northern kingdom, resorted to him out of all their coats. Verse 14. When the Levites left their suburbs and their possessions, came to Yahdai Judah, southern kingdom. But Jeroboam and his sons had cast them off from executing the priest's office unto Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. So now we find out that the priesthood of Leviticus was no longer serving the northern kingdom, so they packed in the southern kingdom. So there was no longer serving northern kingdom. So they had no priests. Now I got a precept that in Hosea, and this what he said was going to happen. And Hosea pertained to that, Brother Yahdai Israel. So now if you ever pick that up before I get there, that'd be good too. Cause we trying to set a little foundation. And it was told in the book of Hosea about the priesthood. Says now we got the record that they disappeared from northern kingdom. But Hosea was told about this, Brother Yahdai Israel. So now you want to take another shot. You want to go two in a row? Go ahead. You want to go and take another shot at it, Brother Yahdai Israel?
And no, I'm not following along on that one, sir.
Okay. Well, it was told that they was going to do something many days without. It was said in the book of Hosea that Northern Kingdom will for many days be without something, Brother Yahdai Israel. I want to read that, what it was said, they're going to be without many days. They will be without something. It's in the book of Hosea, on many days, they will be without something. Like I said, again, we don't prepare no notes. We just play it where it unfolds itself. So, many days, they will be without something. So what we have to do, maybe we'll table it for a minute. But it's definitely going to come to me in a minute. They're going to be many days without something there, Brother Yahdai Israel. Is that good enough for you right there?
Yeah, I'm following the quote. I just don't see it in Hosea.
Yeah, it's... Well, you pull it out. You pull it out in grand style. You on point again. Go to the third chapter of Hosea, there, Brother Yahdai Israel. Ask him again. So you got two markers for you. We're gonna pick it up at verse number 3-4. Three, verse 4.
The book of Hosea, chapter 3, verse number 4. Read for the family of Israel, knowing the kingdom. Shall abide many days without a king, without a prince, without a sacrifice, without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim.
So there it is right there. So Northern Kingdom will go many days without having proper guidance. In Psalm 90, verse 4, can you help me out about many days? What is many days according to what we can read? So they will go many days without having any guidance. Nothing pertaining to the Bible. And what that means in Psalm 90, verse 4.
The book of Psalm 90, verse number 4 reads, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday, when it is past and as a watch in the night.
So one day to the Almighty is like 1,000 years. Let's run to 2 Peter chapter 3 and pick that verse up again and get a second witness. Would it be verse 9? Think about verse 9. So Northern Kingdom, 10 Northern Tribe, will go many days without having anybody to explain anything pertain to the book. Now Peter pulled that verse in 2 Peter 3, verse number 9. And what did he say?
The book of 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter 3, verse number 8. Book of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 reads, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with Yahweh as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years as one day.
So that's where it is. So now let's see if we throw a whole lot of verses on the table, then decode them all and watch it unfold. So let's go to Matthew 25:25. Before you read Matthew 25:25, let's see what he says here in Jeremiah 29, verse 7. What it says in Jeremiah 29, verse 7.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse number 7 reads, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse number 7. And seek the peace of the city, where they have called you to be carried away captive. Pray unto Yahweh for it, for in the peace thereof shall you have peace.
So he said, wherever you go, Southern Kingdom, Northern Kingdom, wherever you at, especially Southern Kingdom, always seek the peace for wherever you at. He said, so what you have to do is always go seek the peace wherever you at. So this was the rules that were told to Jeremiah, so we know he's talking to Southern Kingdom, because Northern Kingdom was going to go many days without any information. So this telling Southern Kingdom, Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. Levi, Benjamin, and Judah. He said, wherever you find yourself at, seek the peace of the land. Go to Matthew 25:25. We land the foundation on something. We're going to lay the foundation, then we're going to tie it all in. Let's go to Matthew 25:25 and 26.
The book of Matthew, chapter 25. Verse 25, verse number 26 reads, Matthew 25, verse number 25. And I was afraid, and when they hear thy talent in the earth, lo, there thou, as that is thine. Verse 26. And Jacques answered and said unto him, you wicked and slew for servant. You knew that I reap where I sow of not, and gather it where I have not straw.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, I don't blow some in there, Brother Yahdai Israel. I got a peep at that. And I got a peep at that because that's really not the mindset that I was going on. I'm going on exactly what we just got through reading a minute ago. So let me look at this Matthew 25:25 myself, because I'm missing something. Yeah, you definitely right on what you said. But I'm missing something there, Brother Yahdai Israel. So I got to go and look a little further. I don't think I'm going to find it. So I may have to double back with that. But I need a little bit more out of that. Because I think I'm on something. I just got to get it all tied in. So I'll bypass 25:25, and I'll go to 2 Corinthians 6:3. But I'm missing me a hit there, Brother Yahdai Israel. 2 Chronicles 6:3. I'm trying to tie back in to what he's telling Judah, Benjamin, and Levi, wherever you find yourself at, then you seek the peace of it. That's what he said. And I'll be peeping over there and seeing I come up with what I didn't hear. 2 Chronicles 6:3.
Book of 2 Chronicles 6:3 reads. Book of 2 Chronicles 6:3. 2 Chronicles 6:3. And the king turned his face and blessed the whole congregation of Israel. All the congregation of Israel stood.
That's all we can get out of that too, huh? Read that again, Brother Yahdai Israel, 2 Corinthians 6:3. Read that again.
Book of 2 Corinthians 6:3 reads. 2 Corinthians 6:3. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed.
Now, what he's saying? Read that again. I think I can live with that a little bit too. Read that again, that Brother Yahdai Israel.
Book of 2 Corinthians 6:3. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed.
Mm-hmm. Give it no offense, that the ministry do not be blamed. And we see it's telling you to seek the peace. And sometimes you have people, all they want is to get you off in a confrontational with them, so you have the whole ministry to be blamed. But you got to see past that. So that's pretty good. Let's go to 1 Peter 2:13. See, one thing about it, six anointed camps, we basically on offense. It's just an offensive ministry. Well, we lays the gloves out and tell you to duck. See, and we got to keep it that way because we have the message from Yahweh to tell those that got an ear to hear. That's why you can't get yourself caught up in someone trying to get you off into a defense, have you to defense something. When right now you're in control on being an offensive ministry because you bring out information that have never of this magnitude have been put out, especially in family relationships and everything else, and revealing the hands that have infiltrated in your ministry, and now they have been, they gonna be revealed even some more on why we do what we do by being set up. We're gonna bring all that out. So now, in 1 Timothy 2:13 says what?
The book of 1 Timothy 2:13.
Now, Peter. Reads. Well, Brother Yahdai Israel, make that 1 Peter 2:13. We try to lay something down at Brother Yahdai Israel. We own something, but we got to first get it out there and start tightening it up. 1 Peter 2:13.
Book of 1 Peter 2:13 reads, 1 Peter 2:13, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for Yahweh's sake, whether it be to the king as the prince.
Mm-hmm. So he says now, what they got on the table, you can't go and protest of what they got on the table. Because the only reason they got all these rules and regulations on the table, because they have read the manuscript on how to trap you up by, give me a word that Brother Yahdai Israel, by trapping you up, by keeping you from Thomas 3. Okay, thank you, that Brother Yahdai Israel. That's good. Thomas 3. What it says in Thomas verse 3?
The book of Thomas, verse number 3 reads, Book of Thomas, verse number 3. Book of Thomas, verse number 3. I'm trying to write it down. See you in 1 second.
Take your time, Brother
Yahdai. Yeah, my eyes poked at the end on it that time. See, I'm ready for it. Book of Thomas, chapter, verse number 3 reads, Yahweh the Son of Satan, if those who lead you say to you, see the kingdom is in the sky, then the birds of the sky will precede you. They say to you, it is in the sea, then the fish will precede you. Rather, the kingdom is inside of you, and it is outside of you. When you come to know yourself, then you will become known. You will realize that it is you. You are the sons and daughters of the living Yahweh the Father. But if you will not know yourself, you dwell in poverty, and it is you who are that poverty.
Mm-hmm. So if you don't know yourself, and you jump down and read the Bible by not knowing yourself because you have... Now, that's one of Titus chapter 3, verse 1. We'll read a little bit to get our point. Now, here's the part what we're saying. If you don't know yourself, then you're going to make decisions and things going to happen to you, and you're not going to see it as an elephant with a bow tie on coming down the main street. You'll see it in Ezekiel 28. This how you will see things. In Ezekiel 28. This how you will see things. In Ezekiel 28. What do we see? This how you will see things in Ezekiel 28. Let's see what it says here. I'm still struggling, Brother Yahdai Israel, but this how we will see things according to, you know, you can jump in when you get ready, Brother Yahdai Israel, because we're trying to lay a little foundation before we, while you looking in 28, I'm going to run back to Isaiah. I'm going to show you how we see things. Run back to Isaiah 12. And I'm going to peep. Peep how we see things. See, we see things and we never catch nothing. And then we react to everything on the table. In the book of Isaiah 14, right? They got a statement in verse number 16. Isaiah 14, 16. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 14, 16. See, we know where we're going now, but we're just going to run you around the backyard to get there. See, this ministry is to, hold that point before you read 14, 16. This ministry is to do this for you, the 24th chapter of Luke. See, when you come to this ministry is to do something that's written in the 24th chapter, verse 30. Verse 31 and 32. See, this ministry is to put on you a Luke 24, 31, 32, and 45. This is what this ministry is all about. See, you want to know what the Sixth Anointed Camp is about? It is to put on you Luke 24, 31, 32, and 45. What did it say that, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Book of Luke chapter 24, verse 31, verse 32. And verse 45 reads, Book of Luke chapter 24, verse 31. And the eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Verse 32. They said one to another, did not our mind burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures. Verse 45. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures.
Mm-hmm. So in Matthew chapter 13:35, can you sum that up, Brother Yahdai Israel? Sum that up in Matthew 13:35. Sum it up for us, Brother Yahdai Israel.
Book of Matthew 13, verse 35 reads. Book of Matthew 13, verse 35. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the sea of sin. I will open my mouth in parable about other things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm. So when we look at the verse in Ecclesiastes out of the regular book in 1:15, backed up in 7:13 of the same book, 7:13. So when we look at these verses, these verses mean something if you know who you are. If you know what Yahweh got written in his Bible, if you know 115 says what in the Ecclesiastes?
Book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verse 15 reads, that which is crooked cannot be made straight. That which is wanted cannot be known.
7:13, same book.
Ecclesiastes 7, verse 13. Consider the work of Yahweh, for who can make that straight which he has made crooked?
Wait a minute, brother Yahdai Israel. Consider the work of who?
Consider the work of Yahweh.
So, consider the work of Yahweh, what he have made crooked. You cannot straighten out the works of Yahweh, Steve Reyes. See, that's why you got to consider the works. And once we get that article read in that 1909 edition of that Bible dictionary, it was something said in that Bible dictionary that going to kick off some end-time prophecy, WCC. But until we hear that article read, then we're going to get in on end-time prophecy. But right now, if we just go into end-time prophecy, it always going to be a toss-up on what people are we talking about until that 1909 additional Bible dictionary is read. And once it's read, then we can get off into end-time prophecy, because you'd be clear about who we're talking about. Because he just said, is a people that he have made crooked. He made them crooked. So, in St. John chapter 10, in St. John chapter 10 there, Brother Yahdai Israel, it makes a profound statement in St. John chapter 10. Did we read that Matthew's already? Did we get that out of the way?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. We got it out of the way. What do it say in Matthew 10, verse 29?
Book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse number 29 reads, Book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a far thing? One of them shall not fall on the ground without your father.
So the father knows. So the father knows. He knows it all. Now, run to the 10th chapter. Look at the same 10:29. Run to 10:29 now.
Matthew.
No, the same. St. John. No, the swing of St. John now. Run to St. John now. 10:29.
The book of St. John 10, verse 29 read. Book of St. John 10, verse 29. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my hands.
Right. So nobody is able to pluck you out of his hand, but you got to... Let me get some of that thing. You got the 1 Peter 3. You got the 1 Peter 3 there, Brother Yahdai Israel. Let me see. 1 Peter 3, Pick it up at the third line. That what, brother Yaakov? All I want is that what. In 1 Peter 3, pick it up where it says, that if what? That if, second line, where it says, that if what?
1 Peter chapter 3.
Yes, sir. And pick it up at the second line, no, third line, where pick it up where it says that. All I want is something that got to be done, Brother Yahdai Israel, in 1 Peter chapter 3. The third line will have a word called that. That what?
That if any obey not the word,
If you don't obey the word, if you don't obey the word, that's what I want. Thank you, Brother Yahdai Israel. So if you don't obey the word, and what is he trying to tell you? Let's run to 1 Kings. See, you got to obey the word. Remember we read that the northern kingdom will not have the word. They're not going to have the word. Because the priesthood that had the word was sent back to the southern kingdom. So you got Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. They was communing among themselves. The other nine tribes did not have the word. So when you don't obey the word, and 1 Kings there, Brother Yahdai Israel. So the key to it is when the scripture's coming out, we got to obey the word. And that's why you got to be sitting in a teaching ministry, because when what he made crooked, you cannot straighten it out. So you be able to catch all of the plans in 1 Kings, you will understand that this means something right here. I can't even find no 1 Kings. I'll find it. In 1 Kings, what, chapter 8 somewhere? Now, if you was brought up to understand this right here, 1 Kings chapter 8, 50-something. Okay, here's right here. 1 Kings 8, 53. If this was taught in your family, the 1 Kings 8, 53, what it say?
Book of 1 Kings 8, verse 53 reads, "But thou didst separate them from among all peoples of the earth to be your inheritance. You spake it by the hand of Moses your servant. You brought our fathers out of Mizraim, Egypt. Oh, Yahweh."
So, we read that if you understand what Yahweh is saying is in that St. John 10, we read in 29, the children of Israel is a separate people. They is a separate people from the other nations. Now, if you was brought up into that, then all the wiles of the 17 nations would have never got you where we at today if you understand who you are, and according to the wisest man in the world, you are a separate people from among all the peoples of the earth of the other nations. If that part would it really sink in, and what he made crooked, what Yahweh made crooked, it cannot be straightened out. So whenever whenever a plot is on the table, but whatever plot is on the table, do you understand that in 2 Kings 6, whatever plot on the table, it has a 2 Kings 6, verse 12 on it. What it says in 2 Kings 6, 12? Whatever plot on the table, see, Ray, it has a 2 Kings 6, 12 flavor to it.
Because 2 Kings chapter 6, verse number 12 reads, and one of his servants said, now am I Yahweh, O king, but Elisha the seer that is in Israel, tell the king of Israel the word that you speaketh in your bedchamber.
Mm-hmm. Now come back to Titus again, chapter 3, 1, 2, and 3. See, when you know who you are in this Bible, Yahweh got 18 nations. You are the 18th nation, the youngest nation of the planet of mankind, the children of Israel. The 17th nation is Esau and his five sons. That's a nation. Remember he said in 24, two nations are in your womb. So the last two nations is the Esau nation and the Jacob nation, whose name was changed to Israel. Them is the last two nations make the 17th and the 18th nation. Okay. If you understand what he says in the 25th chapter of Genesis, verse 24, if you understand what he's saying, then whatever comes before you, you will see it like a big elephant coming down your main street, a bow child. You'll see it so plainly that you can stop them in their tracks. And then you can avoid being a second Ezra 7:21. What it say? What it say in 2 Ezra 7:21, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Book of 2 Ezra, chapter 7, verse 21 reads. Book of 2 Ezra 7, verse 21. For Yahweh have given straight to our instructions to such as can what they should do to live, even if they can, and what they should observe to avoid punishment.
Yeah. He gave you straight Torah instructions to live. That if you follow the word, you can avoid punishment and you can live your life out and you can see a little bit more to help your offsprings. See, it's all about now is helping your offsprings. But you have to hear the word and know specifically when you're talking in the Bible who you're talking to. But if he made a people crooked, how is you going to continue to let them mess with your brain? Mess with your brain. Now, although we're not going to get into today, and let's all look at this article. It was an article came in, and everybody, and his name is John, P-E-R-K-I-N-S. Now, John, P-E-R-K-I-N-S, he going to tell you about the corporations about, and you pull them up yourself. He going to tell you about all the corporations and how he was a economic hitman. An economic hitman. And he works with the corporations on all of the propaganda that you receive today. And once you pull him up, see, we make your brain think. We're going to talk about him later, too. We're going to talk about him later. John, P-E-R-K-I-N-S. We're going to talk about him later in other lessons. And we're also going to talk about in later lessons about Niecy Nash. and Jay Tucker. We're going to talk about Niecy Nash, the Hollywood star. She in the movie called The Claws. We're going to tell you some things. But like I said again, we come to make you think first. How to position yourself to see better. If you see better, you'll do better. That's all we're saying. Titus chapter 3, 1, 2, and 3. So we're going to talk about all this again. John, P-E-R-K-I-N-S. And we're going to talk about Niecy Nash and Jay Tucker. We're going to talk about them later. We're going to talk about all this stuff right here. And we're going to talk about Jessica B-E-T-T-I-S, which is an American single. We're going to talk about her, too. But guess what? All this on the tape. No, we come to make you think. Make you use that brain of yours to think. You got to be a thinking man and woman in this day. You ain't getting out of this unless you be a thinking man or woman. You can organize, boycott, and do everything you want to do. That ain't your answer. You got to be a thinking man and a thinking woman right now on these scriptures, on what he says to you after you know who you are. See, it says in Titus chapter 3, 1, 2, and 3. What did it say there, Brother Yahdai Israel?
The book of Titus 3, verse 1, 2, verse number 3 reads. Book of Titus 3, verse number 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Verse 2. To speak evil of no man, to be not no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Verse 3. We ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasure, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another.
Yep. Yep. We was in some time like that, but guess what now? That's what they wanted to get you off in now, the brawling game, the brawling match. You can't win the brawling match, Steve, right here. See, we can tell you up front now, you cannot win and... You cannot win that in Psalm 58, verse, pick around by verse 4. Psalm 58, verse 4. You cannot win the brawling match. You're not going to win, I'm tell you now. If anybody tell you about a brawling match with the other nation, you're going to lose every time. This is a thinking man and thinking woman. You got to be able to think now. But from where? The scriptures. Because if you try to do it any other way, let's see what 58 verse 4 say in Psalms.
The book of Psalms 58, verse number 4. They're poison like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear.
So, they don't hear you. It's just like you trying to, the most deadliest rattlesnake it is out of state. Imagine that same snake got earplugs in its ear and you trying to plead your cause to that snake, the most deadliest snake it is, and you trying to communicate with the tongue to that snake. You already know the outcome is what it's going to be, right? That's the same thing we're trying to tell you now. Every move that has been made on you because you never thought what did the scriptures say. You made a conscious call from that one I say or where you've been brought up. You are people that always give everybody the benefit of the doubt. You never come back to the scriptures and see what the answer is to that situation that you in. And that's why every nation can ease up to you. Every nation. Because it says in, they says in Jeremiah chapter 50, see, this is a thinking man and woman. This is a, for a thinking man and woman. This broadcast is for, is to make you think. This game is a thinking man and woman's game. You got to think, but you got to think the right way. And that's what we try to do in the Six Anointed Camps. Have you think the right way, think through the scriptures. What it says in 50 verse 7 of Jeremiah.
Book of Jeremiah 50, verse 7 reads, Jeremiah 50, verse number 7. All that found them have devoured them. The adversary said, we offend not, because they have sinned against Yahweh, the habitation of justice, even Yahweh, the hope of their fathers.
And what do your religious leader thinks about that, but they never going to teach on? What do they think about what you just got through saying? In Zechariah chapter 11, what it says in verse 5? Zechariah 11, verse 5. Mm-hmm.
The book of Zechariah, chapter 11. Verse number 5 reads, whose possessors slay them, hold themselves not guilty. They that sell them say, blessed be Yahweh, for I am rich. And their own shepherds pity them not.
Yes, and your own shepherds pity you not. Your own shepherds pity you not. They know that you somebody in this Bible. The shepherds in this Bible cannot even tell you who you are. You go to church, you go on the wrong day, and you go and you sit up in there all day and all night, let them demons beat you down and go to them fast food restaurants and try to eat everything you get your mouth on. But your own shepherds will not even tell you who you are. That the people you are is different from the 17 nations. And this is Yahweh's doing. And that's why everybody able to come in your communities, wherever you at, and do what they do to you. Because you're about it. You don't know who you are. Now, the wisdom of Solomon. Let's go to 14th chapter, verse 21. Let's read a little bit to get our point. We're going to Wisdom of Solomon chapter 14 and pick up verse 21. We land a little foundation, then we're going to start tightening things up. So in the Wisdom of Solomon chapter 14, verse 21, listen to this.
Book of Wisdom of Solomon chapter 14, verse number 21 reads, Wisdom of Solomon 14, verse 21. And this was the occasion to deceive the world. For men serving either calamity or tyranny, did a strive unto stones or stocks, an incommunicable name.
Hey.
Verse number 22. Moreover, this was not enough for them. They that erred in the knowledge of Yahweh, whereas they lived in the great war of ignorance. Those so great plagues called they peace. Verse 23. While they slew their children and sacrificed, they used secret ceremonies or made raveling of strange rites. Verse 24. They kept neither lives nor marriages any longer undefiled, but either one slew another treacherously or breathed him by adultery. Verse 25. So that there reign in all men without exception, blood, manslaughter, theft, dissimulation, corruption, unfaithfulness, turmoil and perjury. Verse 26, disquieting of good men, forgetfulness of good terms, defilement of people, changing of kind, disordering marriages, order, adultery, and shameless unclean. Verse 27.
Now hold that part right there, Brother Yahdai Israel. What they do in verse 26? What they do in verse 26 again, about Yahdai Israel?
Book of Wisdom of Solomon 14, verse 26. Disquieting of good men, forgiveness of good terms, defilement of people, changing of kind, disorders in marriages.
Changing of kind. You know, I dropped a lot of names down on you earlier. And when you do the little research we told you to do about Niecy Nash, you're gonna find out something about Niecy Nash pertaining to quieting the good man and changing of kind. So when you see, this ministry is to make you think. See, we can tell you exactly step by step, what's going to work and what's not going to work. So when you put up Niecy Nash, and Jay Tucker, T-U-C-K-E-R, and then once you read up on it a little bit, verse 22.
The Book of Wisdom of Solomon 14, verse 22. Moreover, this was not enough for them, that they erred in the knowledge of Yahweh. But whereas they lived in the great war of ignorance, those so great plagues caused they peace.
And that is the leaders you got in before you, they error in Scripture. They error in the knowledge of the Scripture. They error, and that's great ignorance. And then you are patting yourself after what you see on that one-eyed Satan. But them all that on that one-eyed Satan, they error in Scripture. They error in Scripture, see, right here. Let's run to Micah chapter 6, verse 16. They error in Scripture. Micah chapter 6, verse 16. Listen good.
The book of Micah 6, verse 16 reads, Book of Micah, chapter 6, verse number 16. Micah 6, verse 16. For the statutes of Omri are kept, and all the works of the family of Ahab, and you walk in their counsel, that I should make thee a desolation. The inhabitants thereof are hissing, therefore ye shall bear the reproach of my people.
You hear that man just said? He said, your mindset and you walk in the counsel of Omri. And he says, what he's saying, I'm going to hurt you for doing this. Did you know that was in the Bible? He says, you walk in the statue of Omri. That's what you do. And read that again in verse 16. Listen good. He's telling you what you do. He's telling this what you do, Michael. Tell him, Michael, this what they do. 6:16. Listen good.
The book of Micah, chapter 6, verse 16 reads, Micah 6, verse 16. For the statutes of Omri are kept, and all the works of the family of Ahab, and you walk in the counsel that I should make thee a desolation. And the inhabitants thereof and hissing. Therefore ye shall bear the reproach of my people.
Yeah. You see? So you walk in the statue of Omri. And he said, I'm going to get you for it. But see, you don't know what that means, see, right here. Now we're going to precept that to 1 Kings 16:25. He said, You Israelites, you walk in the statue of Omri, and I'm going to get you for it. See that? But you got degrees and you don't know who Umber is. What's up? Why you don't know that? 1 Kings 16:25. What about Umber? What about this guy? That's who you walk in. 16:25. 1 Kings.
The book of 1 Kings 16. Verse 25 reads. Book of 1 Kings 16. Verse number 25. But Umri wrought evil in the eyes of Yahweh. Did worse than all that were before him.
Oh, so Umri was a king, and he said that the children walked in all the ways of Umri, and that's evil, and I'm going to get you. And Umri had a son called Ahaz. Ahaz, see, right? So you see, Yahweh got it already laid out. If you know what you're looking at, you better put this thing together because we make your head spin. Now, Umri had a son called Ahaz. Now, let's find out. I want to go all the way to 21st chapter and read verse 25. Then we're going to come back and read up to it and get what we can out of it on the time limit we have. Let's find out about Umri and his son Ahaz. What did Yahweh say about Umri and his son Ahaz that came after him? What did Yahweh say about him in 1 Kings 21:25? What did he say about him, Brother Yahweh Israel?
Book of 1 Kings 21, verse number 25 reads, 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 25, but there was none like unto Ahaz, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of Yahweh, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up.
Ain't that something? He said, out of this whole creation, he said, the most wicked is man that he made on the planet of mankind was Ahaz. He said, Ahaz, what made Ahaz so wicked? What he said again, the definition of Ahaz, the king of Israel, being wicked. What did Yahweh say in verse 25? What did he say?
The book of 1 Kings 21, verse 25. But there was none like unto Ahaz, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of Yahweh, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up.
So you see what can make you wicked? See, what can make you wicked, see right here, is when your wife can stir you up, can have you to make a decision. Can make your wife, when your wife can make you make a decision. You say, I am seeing nothing so wicked than your wife having you to make a decision. Your wife can cause you to make a decision, see right here. That's what he just said. Read it one more time, Brother Yahdai Israel. This is what WCC saying. Hold that. Let me read this. See, would you make it more plainer? Well, no, I ain't making nothing plainer for you, WCC. Verse 25 one time. Listen to saying verse 25.
The book of 1 Kings 21, verse 25 reads, but there was none like unto Ahaz, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of Yahweh, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up.
Now, let's back up to the 21st chapter and watch him and see exactly what he do. Let's run to the 21st chapter. And pick up a verse number 1. Let's read a little bit and see, find out exactly what this conversation is all about. Pick it up at 21, verse 1. 1 Kings 21, pick it up at verse 1. Let's read a little bit, Brother Yahdai Israel. We'll put it out when we got the point across. Remember, we'll come back tomorrow and really lay this in grand style. But we want to lay a little foundation. So we found out that Yahweh said, the most worthless man I ever made. So the most worthless man I ever made on the planet was a king that was a son of Omri. Omri was an evil man, the dumb wicked, and his son, and he said, he was a wicked man, but his son Omri, I mean his father Omri was wicked, but his son Ahaz was the most wickedest man that he had made on the planet. So you throw Cain out the window. Cain is not the wickedest man for killing his brother. He says, this man right here is the most dishonorable man that he ever made. Let's go find out what he did. What made him like that? Let's see what he did to make Yahweh say, this is ridiculous about you. We go on to 1 Kings 21, and we'll pick up verse 1. Let's see what's going on here. Come on.
The book of 1 Kings, chapter 21, verse number 1. It came to pass after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria, northern kingdom. Verse number 2. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me your vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to you, I will give you the work of it in money. Verse number 3. And Naboth said to Ahab, Yahweh forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my father unto you. Verse number 4. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased, because of the word which Naboth, the Jezreelite, had spoken to him. For he had said, I would not give you the inheritance of my father. He laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. Verse 5. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is your spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? Verse 6. And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth, the Jezreelite, and said unto him, give me your vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give you my vineyard. Verse number 7, Jezebel and his wife said unto him, does you now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread. Let thy mind be mixed, I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth, judge your life. Verse number 8. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters unto the other, to the nobles that were in his city, dwelling with Naboth. Verse number 9. She wrote in the letter saying, proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people. Verse 10. And set two men, sons of Belial, before him, to bear witness against him, saying, you did blaspheme Yahweh and the king, then carry him out and stone him, that he may die. Verse number 11. And the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles, who were the inhabitants in his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, as it was written in the letter which she had sent unto them. Verse 12. They proclaimed a fast, set Naboth on high among the people. Verse 13. There came in two men, children of Belial, and set before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme Yahweh and the king. And they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stone, that he died. Verse number 14. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. Verse 15. And it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead. Verse 16. And it came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab arose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, to take possession of it. Verse 17. And the word of Yahweh.
Stop it there. That's it, verse 16. Did you hear that? You hear what the king did? The king came in, was heavy. Wife asked him, what's wrong with you? Why you ain't eating no meat? Why you ain't eating no bread? And he told her the matter. And she said, I'll take care. Back up to verse 6.
The book of 1 Kings, chapter 21, verse 6. And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth, the Jezreelite, said unto him, give me your vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for you. And he answered, I will not give you my vineyard.
What do you say again in 21:6 again?
The book of 1 Kings 21, verse 6. And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth, the Jezreelite, said unto him, give me your vineyard for money, or else, if it please you, I will give thee another vineyard for you. And he answered, I will not give you my vineyard.
What it says in 3:17 and 18 of the heavenly cabinets? What it says in 3:17-18 of Genesis? What do the Bible say in 3:17-18?
The book of Genesis 3. Verse number 17 and verse number 18 read. Genesis 3, verse 17. Now to Adam he said, because you have hearkened unto the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, say, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. And sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of your life. Verse 18. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb. Other people.
Until what? 19. Until what? Until
verse
what?
19.
Since you listen to your wife. Yeah. Verse 19.
Verse number 19. In the sweat of your face shall you eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it was thou taken. For dust you are, and dust, and unto dust shall you return.
So now, like I said, we're going to throw a lot on the table. But you see, and what he says, so we see what happened to Adam, and they had the record. By Adam listening to his wife, that caused him to cut off all creation. Let's run to Romans and see exactly what happened. When Adam did what he did, let's see what the Bible say happened. Paul gonna report about that. What he did. In 5:12. Watch Paul report about that in Romans 5:12. He gonna report back way back in the garden to the northern kingdom in 5:12. What did he say in 5:12?
The book of Romans 5:12 reads. Romans 5:12. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, so that all have sinned.
Now, one man sinned into the world. One man sinned into the world, then death passed on all men. What did the one man do in 3:17? What did the one man do in 3:17? Genesis. Let's see what that one, what did the, now Paul reporting about the one man's sin. What did the one man's sin do again in Genesis 3:17?
Book of Genesis 3, verse number 17, read. And unto Adam he speak, because you have hearkened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which
now,
I commanded you, say, you shall not eat of it.
Uh-huh. Now come back to 1 Kings 21, 6 and 25 again. Let's come back to 1 Kings 21, verse 6 and 25. See, we're going somewhere, and we'll be able to tie this all in after we make your brain think that maybe what we've been doing is not the right way to success to make Yahweh be in our corner at our time of need. Let's see what it says in 1 Kings 21, 6 and 25.
The book of 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 6 and verse 25 reads. Book of 1 Kings chapter 21. Verse 6, and he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, said unto him, give me your vineyard for money, or else, if it please you, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give you my vineyard. Verse 25, there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of Yahweh, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up.
Tell me something. Do those on the network, do you run into, you get yourself stirred up like that? Where you just, once you hear something, you just immediately just move at it because you heard it. Hmm? Let's see what Yahweh says in Matthew 9:27. What he says in 9:27 there, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Book of Matthew 9, verse number 27 read. Book of Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. And when Yahweh the Son departed thence, two blind men followed him crying and saying, you are the son of David. Have mercy on us.
Mm-hmm. And the blind man, what did the blind man do again there, Brother Yahdai Israel? What did the two blind men do again? Now, I want these words brought out. What did the blind man do?
The book of Matthew 9, verse 27. When Yahweh the Son departed thence, two blind men follow him crying and saying, you are the Son of David.
Right there, Brother Yahdai Israel. The blind man supposed to follow him. See, Royal, the blind man supposed to follow him. The blind man's supposed to make sure he understands what he's saying, how your mind's supposed to be in 2 Corinthians 2:16. So the blind man, listen, blind man, you're supposed to make sure your decision that you make, you follow him. That's the decision you make, you're supposed to make, blind man. There you go right there. This was been hid from you since the foundation of the book was closed in 96 A.D. The blind man is so easy to stir you up. It's easy to stir you up because you make your decision without following him. So when you're blind and you need a decision answer, you got to follow him. Blind man. What you reading that, Brother Yahweh Israel?
Book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 16.
Yes, sir. What do that say anyway?
Book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 16 reads, to the one we are the Savior of death unto death, to the other the Savior of life unto life. And who is sufficient
what
for these things?
Well, hold on, Brother Yahweh Israel. What you reading? You read, make it 1 Corinthians 16. Thank you there, Brother Yahweh Israel. 1 Corinthians 2, 16. What it says in 1 Corinthians 2, 16.
Book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 16 reads, for we have known the mind of Yahweh the Father, but that he might instruct him. We have the mind of Yahweh the Son.
See, we supposed to have the mind of Yahweh the Son and follow him. See, this is the way it's supposed to be to avoid punishment. When you make your decision, you make your decision, blind man, by following him. You got to go see what he said, blind man, and follow him. Do you be like Omri and Ahaz and Adam? But he said Ahaz was the worstest man that he is. He worse than Ahaz. I mean, Ahaz is worse than his daddy Omri, even worse than Adam. Because this man, what did he do in 21:25? What, 1 Kings 21:25, this was make him the worstest man on the planet. According to Yahweh, he said, the worstest man I ever created. Even Cain, Cain that killed his brother. But the worstest man I ever created was Ahaz. What did Ahaz do again in 21:25? Let's see what he did.
Book of 1 Kings, chapter 21, verse number 25 reads, Book of 1 Kings, chapter 21, verse 25. But there was none like unto Ahaz, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of Yahweh, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up.
So now we know who the most wickedest man on the planet, according to Scripture, was Ahaz. Because Ahaz let his wife stir him up. That's supposed to happen to you right here. You're supposed to have the mind of Yahweh the Son. If you got the mind of Yahweh the Son, you will follow him. Your decision will be made according to Yahweh and follow him. When you make a decision, make sure it's the same decision Yahweh say, follow him. Let's go to Matthew 10, 36 to 38. Matthew 10, 36 to 38. So what we do, we'll sit around with our better half and we'll come up with a conclusion on an issue. That's not Bible-wise, see, Warrior. What Bible-wise is what we read now. You make a decision by following your mighty one. This is Yahweh the Son. That's how you're supposed to make a decision. You remember we read in the beginning of the lesson how beautiful it is when brothers dwell together. And we found out about the brotherhood. You hear what he said, a brotherhood that comes together for this kind of hour. In Matthew 10, 36 through 38, listen good.
Book of Matthew 10, verse number 36 to 38 read. Matthew 10, verse number 36. A man's foe to be they of his own household. Verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. 38. And he that taketh not is this covenant and falleth after me is not worthy of me.
Thank you, sir. Read verse 37 again. You the man say it. Look what the man just said in verse 37. What did he say again, 37, 38?
The book of Matthew 10, verse 37. He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Verse 38. He that taketh not this covenant and falleth after me is not worthy of me.
Luke chapter 12, verse 51. You hear the man saying? So the man is telling man, do you love what you see more than me? Do you make your decisions on what you see more than me? Or do you make your calling according to my word that's going to stand that I got from the Father? He said, if you're not making your calling according to my word, then you don't love me. And you're not worthy of me. And that's what the man just said. You got to make sure, man, that whatever decision you make is already been done by Yahweh the Son through his writing of the pages. So you got to make sure that when you make a decision, it goes along with the manuscript of the Bible. Because he said, if you make a decision contrary to it, you ain't worthy of me, although you know my name. Luke 12, 51, listen to this.
Book of Luke chapter 12, verse number 51 reads, suppose you that I am come to give peace on earth, I tell you nay, but rather divisions. Verse number 52.
If I didn't come, that's good. That's good. See, Yahweh didn't come to y'all got it wrong. He didn't come to give peace. He came to the vision because he seen what you was on. He seen that you was making decisions according to not reading the manuscript. So he came to make the divisions to let you know that you love your mama more than me. You ain't worthy of me. You love your father more than me, you ain't worthy of me. You love your better half more than me, you ain't worthy of me. You love your kids more than me, you ain't worthy of me. He's telling you to make a decision, make sure you make a decision according to my word. Then I will be there for you when you make a decision according to my word. Let's run to Sirach 37. 12 through 15. Listen good. Sirach 37, 12 through 15. And the only way you have a mind on him, you got to seek the way he got it in order. Everybody got their place in Yahweh. Do you know your place? He said, if your decision ain't made behind my words, you ain't worthy of me. If you love anything more than me, you ain't worthy of me. That's what the man just said. And look what he told Sirach to put in the book. And all one's going to read it is Voices of the True Israelites. 37 chapter 12 through 15. Listen good.
The book of Sirach chapter 37. Verse number 12 through 15 reads. Sirach 37 verse 12. But be continuing with the Yahqualy man. Whom you know to keep the Torah instructions of Yahweh, whose mind is according to your mind, and will sorrow with you if you shall miscarry. Verse 13, Let the counsel of thine own mind stand. There is no man more faithful unto thee than him. Verse 14. Well, man's mind is sometimes won't tell him more than seven watchmen that sit above in a high tower. Verse 15. And above all this, pray to the Most High Yahweh that you will direct your way into.
You pray to Yahweh, he'll direct your way in truth. So you pray to Yahweh, he'll direct your way in truth. Huh? Let's run to 1 Samuel chapter 7. You pray to Yahweh, and then he'll direct your way in truth, see, right? So that's why we get caught up. And we will remain caught up. Because majority of our decision will not be made by the Bible. If you make it any other way, it's a crapshoot. You're going to lose. Look what says here. Well, let's read verse 9 to get to the conclusion of it real quick. 7 verse 9. Watch this here.
The book of 1 Samuel.
1 Samuel 7, 9. Yeah, 7 verse 9.
The book of 1 Samuel 7, verse number 9. Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy to Yahweh. Samuel cried unto Yahweh for Israel, and Yahweh heard him.
Who is this guy over there? Verse 5.
Verse number 5. And Samuel the seer said, gather all Israel to Mizpah. And I will pray for you unto Yahweh.
What did Malachi 3 verse 6 say behind that?
Book of Malachi chapter 3 verse number 6 reads. Book of Malachi chapter 3 verse number 6. For I am Yahweh, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, Israel, are not consumed.
Hear the man say? So how is it done any other way? Man say, do not change. If you won't know what he's doing today, you look at yesterday. So you just read what he just said. I am Yahweh, I change not. If we don't return back to the Bible, and that's why it tells you in 13 verse 8 through 10 of Zechariah. So that's why it tells you in the 13th chapter 8, 9, and 10 says what in Zechariah? Zechariah 13, 8, 9, and 10. What does it say, Brother Yahweh Israel?
The book of Zechariah 13, verse number 8. Verse number 9 reads, Book of Zechariah 13, verse number 8. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, save Yahweh, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. Verse number 9. Now bring the third part to the fire, and will refine them as silver as refined, will try them as gold as tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. And I will say, it is my people. They shall say, Yahweh is by Yahweh.
So in 1 Corinthians 7:15, can you help me out, Brother Yahweh Israel? What it says in 1 Corinthians 7:15?
The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 7, verse number 15 reads. Book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 7. Verse number 15. Book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 15. But if the unbelieving depart, let them depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage such in such cases. But Yahweh has called us to peace.
So if you don't believe this, if you don't believe what the man got written in his Bible. He said, let the unbeliever depart, see, right? You got to understand something. let the unbeliever depart, because Yahweh called us for what reason, Brother Yahdai Israel? What reason in 1 Corinthians 7:15? Read that from the top again. See, listen what he's saying. He's saying something to you, see, right? And you got to examine yourself. Huh? Because what you say, that's the end of it. 7:15, listen good.
Book of 1 Corinthians 7:15. But if the unbeliever depart, let them depart. Brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. For Yahweh have called us to peace.
Yahweh have called us to peace, Israel. And that is what the man tell you. All this bickering back and forth, not knowing the oracles of Yahweh, that is not the way. That's why the Son came to jumpstart you back by opening up to you the scriptures. Bickering, hate each other, folk, all you come together for is this, that, and other. Then read back at it. Yahweh have called us to peace. So if you're not receiving peace, when you say something, it's still supposed to come behind it. It's peace. Peace, Israel. He didn't cause you, and if anybody in your circle do not believe the word of Yahweh, that means the peace is not there, then let them go. Let them go, see, right? 7:15, one more time. Listen to what the man saying. 7:15. What did he say?
1 Corinthians 7:15 reads, but if the unbelievers depart, let them depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. But Yahweh have called that to peace.
Now, Paul pulled that verse. He pulled that verse from somewhere. He had to pull it. Let's go to the 27th chapter of Deuteronomy. He had to pull that from the 24th chapter, verse 1. There's no way he could have said that. If you with a person that is an unbeliever and is not peaceful behind what you say, let that person go. Let that person go. Watch this. Paul pulled that verse. He didn't come up with that on his own. He must have pointed back at something. Let's run to the 24th chapter, verse 1, and see what he's pulling that from.
Book of Deuteronomy 24.
Deuteronomy.
Verse number 1.
Sir.
Book of Deuteronomy 24, verse 1. When a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement, give it in her hand, and send her out of his house.
You demand, that's where Paul pulled that thing from. He says, if that woman with you do not bring peace in your life, peace, Israel, peace. If she don't bring peace in your life, what did he say in verse 24, verse 1, say again?
Book of Deuteronomy 24, verse number 1. When a man have taken a wife and married her, it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he had found some uncleanness in her, and let him write her a bill of divorce and give it in her hand, send her out of his house.
We'll close out again in 21:25 of 1 Kings. You see this Bible saying, see, right? You see how we walking this thing down? Understand something. You got a mate. Your mate's supposed to cause you peace. peace, he writes. If your mate do not cause you peace. Hold that point. Let me show you, Coach. What is you? You think Yahweh, look what you know Yahweh told Moses? What did he tell Moses in the 14th chapter before you read that verse? What did Moses say? What did Moses say? Now, Yahweh tells Moses. See, if you got a better half, and that better half is not causing you peace, look what Yahweh says in 14:11 out of the heavenly tablets of Numbers.
Good Numbers, verse number 11 reads, Numbers 14, verse number 11. Yahweh said unto Moses, along with this people provoke me. How long will it be ere they believe for all the signs which I have shown among them?
And what he said in 12. Now, what about, you see? So when you got a person that provoke you, you know that verse over there? It says Jezebel stirred up. She know how to push his buttons. She know how to push his button. Then he go back and forth with her, but he agree with her, and whatever she decide to do, fine. What did Yahweh say in verse 12?
Numbers 11. Numbers 14. Verse number 12 reads. Look at Numbers 14. Verse number 12. I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them. It will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than this.
So don't you think he could have done the same thing with if Adam would have came to him when he heard the problem back in the garden, Yahweh could have done the same thing for Adam as he telling Moses. He could have done the same thing. See, what I'm trying to tell you, see, right here, Yahweh got all the power. He can sell a thing, but he wants you until he returns to have peace. The only way you have peace, you got to play it by the Bible. And if a person that's with you got a problem with the Bible, then you have to remember what he said. Whatever written in his Bible, we're going to do what's written in his Bible. And if you don't respond to me with a peaceful manner, then I got the option to do what in 7:15 one more time? 1 Corinthians 7:15. What do the Bible say? If I look at you and if you don't line up with the 7:15, what do I supposed to do? I don't have to scratch my head or reason with you. Or take you outside and reason